It's a daily talk show, everyone.
What up, everybody? You might hear a bit of difference in Josh's audio because he's coming to you live from the Comm Games.
Yeah, live from the sunny sunshine. Wait, is it the sunshine? The Gold Coast?
Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast is... What's the difference between the Sunshine Coast and the Gold Coast?
Well, I think there is... Sunshine Coast is like down past the Gold Coast. I actually like the sunny coast more so than the Gold Coast. So like up towards Noosa. I think that's the Sunshine Coast up that way.
Because I am... at the moment, let me just look on a map where I actually am. So I'm staying... Yes, I've just decided to come up and... They were saying there weren't many people at the Comm Games, and you know I hate crowds, so I'm like, if it's quiet, I might actually like it.
You were seen to be supporting Australia, but only in the way that you see fit.
Yeah, and apparently someone was saying that normally during Easter, they're at, I think it's like 110% capacity or something, like in population-wise or something, and... for the first time in 17 years, it's been like the lowest amount of people during that time and like the Comm Games, because they told everyone to get out. They're like, guys, plan ahead. This is going to be fucking crazy.
Well, they also said that this is going to increase, revenue in restaurants and, you know, hotels. And then there's been a bit of an issue.
Well, there's just, I heard a guy on the plane saying that he's got a rental place up here. And they no one was renting it out. A volunteer told me yesterday that they're only at like 30% capacity at the moment. Like it's literally gone the other way. And I've been staying with my mate Nathan, who's moved here, and I feel like I take a lot of joy in when these things go down. I'm just like, mate, there's so much room. This is great. There's just like, there's no lines or the cafe. Where do you want to go? We can go anywhere.
It's an interesting place, the Gold Coast. What's your first?
Service Paradise is where I am. So Nathan described it as a bit like it gets a bit of hate from people.
Yes.
Because it's a bit touristy. But he just wanted something just fucking that has that experience. But for me, it feels very much like the areas that we've been in feels a bit like Florida.
Yeah.
You sort of have these two sort of competing things. You've got like retirees and young people.
Mm-hmm. It's the closest you get to really having like America. You have...
Yeah,
20 different types of Americans because they change from East Coast to West Coast. Like it's dramatic in their voice and, you know, even look and the way they dress. And so Gold Coast, I feel, is like it gets towards the Australian that international people think Australians are, like a bit more boganish, which it isn't a bad thing. I love Broadbeach, which is like the next suburb on from – the Surfers Paradise. That's where I stay if I go up there. It's just a bit quieter, and it's near the casino. Not that I gamble, but I really liked it. It's mate, you go up in in Australia, winter time, you can go to the Gold Coast and it's fucking warm. It's so good.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've not watched one bit of the Comm Games, and
neither have we, to be honest. Like, Well, I was meant to go to the boxing, but Nathan's like, oh, no, I couldn't get tickets. And that's sort of like the important part of the whole experience is for me to be able to get tickets.
He invites you up to the Gold Coast. We're going to the boxing. You get there and he's like, we're just going to Hollywoods.
Yeah, exactly.
Has Nathan been to Hollywoods?
No, I don't think so.
Ask him if he's been to Hollywoods.
Is it like Hard Rock Cafe or something?
Hollywoods is the like famous strip club on the strip in the Gold Coast. I've never been there. I've just heard stories from Hollywoods. But anyway,
there's also, you know, you're talking about people looking different. I reckon Nathan described it as people are super healthy, but they're not wanky about it. You've got like, it's sort of like healthy bogans. Like they were doing health before it became cool, maybe.
Oh, the further you go, and then it probably gets to a point because it gets too fucking hot up the east coast of Australia. But the further you go, people are just healthier. Like compared to from Melbourne to Sydney, there's just the climate's more conducive to being outdoors, and the walks around, you know, the eastern suburbs are fucking outrageous. Like I live in St Kilda. There's maybe one or two people out in the morning running along the water. In Sydney, there's hundreds every morning. It's just – and then you go up. You're right. It's like I've got my mum's old best friend, actually they're still best friends, Josie. This is a name drop. Josie Ansett and Bob Ansett. Bob's dad was the guy who created Ansett Airlines.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so mum worked at Budget Rent-A-Car with Josie, and Bob was the owner. So he's a long time entrepreneur. And anyway, they live up on the sunny coast, like near Noosa, mate. Mm-hmm. They swim every single morning. Bob runs but my point is it's just like the climate. You can swim every morning. The fucking water's that warm. You want to be outdoors. The sun's shining. So the further you go, it's like. You can imagine that is just been embedded in their culture. The lifestyle, surfing, more active. Fuck, it's good. California.
You definitely notice it. Mate, I feel like I could imagine you making this move around here.
I could live on the sunny coast. I wouldn't live in Surfers, but I could live in further down Mooloolaba, more the quieter spots where the good surf is. But, I'd just become a leathery fucking dude who walks around in his Speedos, just loving it.
Actually, I'm sure Hawaii, Hawaii and stuff would have the same thing, right? Like I've got a friend from Hawaii.
California.
California.
The coast of California is fucking outrageous. It's so good.
I've been getting out of my comfort zone already, though.
Asking where the toilet is?
No. We went to a live show last night. I don't know if you saw my Insta stories. There was like a rapper.
So you did go to Hollywood?
No. It was an open. It was actually really funny. It was a cool event. It was to celebrate Nelson Mandela's 100th birthday, and they had all these sort of African performances. But then you had the MC was really funny. Like he reminded me of what I would be like if I was an MC. You've got like all of these real cool Africans doing this fucking sick music, and then he comes out and is like, hey, everyone, yo, give a big Gold Coast welcome to this next guy. Like, is everyone ready to party?
So
I wasn't the whitest guy at the event, he was, but the when the performances were on, there was some amazing acts. There was one called a performer named Moonchild, and she was sick, and she was like twerking and shit, like getting right into it. And you could see that the director that was directing the cameras, like that was sort of switching between the cameras on the live thing, must have been told, don't be graphic. Like you try and keep this as tasteful as possible. So every time she like turn to a camera and start like going crazy on a twerk or something, and you just see him quickly switch the camera.
You know that you have basically described the experience of going to a strip club, a bogan MC Aussie guy, and working.
It's got that vibe, but it was amazing. But what the comfort zone came from? Nathan telling me, oh man, he saw some of his friends and they were all going into like the close to the stage where everyone was sort of like getting into the dancing and stuff. And he's like, come along. So then I was sort of went from rigid outside watcher, really enjoying it, to in like one of the dancing people in the front.
Do you dance? I don't know. For some reason, I don't imagine you dancing.
Well, I would dance. I dance ironically. Like if I'm at like this, I remember a friend's wedding video. There's some awesome. I don't think there's probably a montage. I know that they were filming me for a long time doing a whole set. But not if it's ironic and it's me being a bit goofy. Yes,
that's what Jules Lund does. Jules Lund ironic dances, like, but he owns it. I think it's because he's fucking probably thinking about being a shit dancer.
Well, yeah. But then this was more like Bob. Like everyone's like, you know, like if you're at an event and they say, "Come on, everyone, put your hands up!" Like my every part of my body says, "Don't fucking tell me what to do. I'm not a follower." Yeah. And then you sort of slowly, sort of just like it starts off with like a head scratch, and you're like fucking, and then all of a sudden your hands up in the air. It's like, oh, here we go. So I felt like I was a little bit rigid. But I was moving around, and then I caught a glimpse of myself on the camera because they were like cutting to different people, and I actually looked way cooler than what I thought I would. So I was happy with that.
I think the way you think you look is always so different to how you actually look. I mean, that can come across in the other way. I thought I was doing some awesome dancing one night at this wedding. Amy was like, "That's outrageous." But I owned it.
Man, it was so good though. It was like the performances. There was another group called KOG, and they were just sick. They were just like, it was, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like there was South African music, it was West African music, but it was like drumming and shit, and then just like just heaps of like sick dancing. I don't know how to describe it.
They've put this event on because of the Comm Games? Or are they just celebrating Mandela up on the Gold Coast every year?
This is part of – no, I don't know if that's a Gold Coast thing, but the 2018 festival. So I guess that's part of like Comm Games. They're doing all of these different things. We've actually got a friend of Naysan and I who we got to know when we were filming her in Canada. I remember I did that African dancer video. She's up here at the moment, and they had it's like this, don't know what you describe it, like an installation where she would, that for an hour, they go in in like a big glass container type thing, and they fill it up with water. And they actually go like from top to bottom water, so that she'll spend like a couple of minutes completely just submerged, dance, like doing this whole performance.
That's weird.
And she did it for 45 minutes.
Jeez.
Or it was maybe even longer.
Do you reckon she took a piss in the water?
Yeah, you'd have to, wouldn't you? That's a really good question. It's a really good question. But the it's funny. What I find funny about these types of events is just what you look at. For me, I'm always looking at like, we're talking yesterday about how I'll create these stories about people.
Yeah, yeah. You're still doing it. I mean, it's only been a day.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to do it as much, but I just saw like a guy with his FS7 filming the event. I'm like, oh, okay, this is what he's thinking. This is what he's doing. Okay, he's trying like just playing that, and then okay, what's the he got told off by the director of a show because he was like in front of a line. I was like, oh, I wonder if he cares, that type of thing. Anyway, it's good just to be near the water. Do you think that will be eventually what you do? I feel like you are the guy who will eventually make that move.
Yeah, to the water.
Yeah, because you got St Kilda now.
Yeah, other than living in Shepparton, it's been a priority of mine having some sort of water near me. There's just something about it, refreshing, and just in the morning, if you can just get in that water, it sets you up. But I guess there's people that just love inland and love the cold and don't like that. But I know for me, it helps when you surf to actually want to be doing something active near the water. You just don't
think.
Was that?
I was just going to say, do you think that you, like, what sort of diet do you reckon coastal vibe has?
Diet?
What would you eat if you lived sort of near the beach all the time?
Probably the same thing. If you're actually active, you want to, I find when I'm active, I make better choices in terms of what I eat. But here's a weird thing.
Eating more fruit? I feel like I would naturally eat more fruit salads.
I've lived near Bondi. I didn't eat more fruit. There was one thing from surfing as a kid that it's probably just because I've associated doing this with surfing, but when I used to be a kid and surf, Dad used to make peanut butter sandwiches for us to have after the surf. And now I just fucking all I think about when I'm surfing is getting out and having a peanut butter sandwich. And it's
really
like, oh, it's the best because you get this kind of your mouth is like so salty from all the water and you're just like so fucked energy wise.
With like white bread?
Oh, whatever it be. I'd choose healthy bread now, but I can't remember. It was probably healthier bread than white. My parents were very much into grains and, you know, good stuff. But, yeah.
I got a couple of emails that I wanted to talk about just to touch on. Who's a listener of the podcast, said the difference between arrogance and confidence is arrogance comes from too much external validation. This is going back to our previous app. And also Michelle said that it was arrogance comes from ego.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was an interesting point.
Good segue from peanut butter sandwiches. Is that what you thought?
That's what I thought.
Tommy's talking about nostalgia. I want to talk about something happened a couple of days ago.
The confidence. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What else is new? What's happening in your world? What have I missed? It's been, you know, been less than a day. What have I missed?
Yeah, nothing, Matt. It's very windy in Melbourne this morning. It's a bit funny. It's a bit like it feels like a big storm's coming, but I don't think it will. It's just fucking itself this morning.
So do we agree that we can talk about weather if we're in different parts of the world?
Yeah, I'm painting a picture. It's like almost feels like hang on. I think, is it autumn? I don't fucking know. There's leaves everywhere. It's fucked. Anyway, Punt Road was a nightmare. Segueing out of that to nothing to segue to, so it's not really a segue, listening to a podcast with the guy who founded FUBU. Did you wear FUBU?
No, I don't even know the brand.
For You by Us.
No.
Fuck, you would totally know the FUBU clothing when you see it. Like there would have been a time we were growing up, kids would have been rocking FUBU.
FUBU, FUBU?
Yeah, type it in. You'll know it straight away.
Okay.
The branding's very bold and prominent on a lot of their old attire. It was a bit gross. But the guy who started it, he basically started it for it was like the rap culture. So it was in the rap world back in the day. And
they actually have autoplay music on their like rap songs on their website.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Yeah. So go on. So they created it for the music, like for rappers.
Yeah. For that sort of that era when, you know, rap and that culture was massive and sort of coming into limelight. And anyway, he's worth quarter of a bill now, and it was a business focused podcast.
I thought you were going to say, mate, worth quarter of a mil.
he's worth $250. Fucking hell.
Go on, listen to the potty.
It was the How I Built This, so it was all about how he built his business.
Yeah.
And, fuck, amazing story. His mum put up, took out a mortgage on their house, took out like equity on the house. To fund it so that, you know, his mum could have lost the house. But anyway, it paid off big and he's just a classic entrepreneur starting from nothing and just having an idea. But he's the kind of guy he is. He did the math because he was around when the crack epidemic started in the States.
Yeah.
And he did the math of a five-year earning capacity of a drug dealer versus the five-year earning capacity of working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And he chose to work at McDonald's because he did the math and it didn't work out. He said that you go to jail for 2 years, there's loss of income, three, you know, always watching your back. So that's the kind of guy he is. Anyway, he was talking about goal setting. Mm-hmm. And he said one thing about how it was like a passing comment. He's like, you know, like I set the goal very low and this and this. But I was like fucking thinking about setting goals low. And I know I fucking do it. And I know you probably do. But it's in terms of like, because you work out, it's like you're too smart for your own good, work out, oh, this is why it probably wouldn't happen if I set that big a goal. And I mean, listening, and like we say, when we're dealing with companies that are worth a lot of money, it's like they're having the same thinkings as we are. But this guy who's built a, you know, probably sold $1 billion worth of clothes in his life. He was thinking, oh, I'll just like setting little fucking goals for his business. And and I was just reflecting on that for me. It's like, fuck, I seriously think that I haven't set goals high enough.
I think that this is – here's the thing I think on this, right? So I was filming Dr. Jason Fox, an organizational psychologist, I think is sort of what he does, and a guy named Michael Bungay Stainer. He actually was
– Say that again.
Michael Bungay Stainer is his name. He's got a he's done like he's done TED talk. He's done talks at Google's. He's an author. He's got a company called Box of Crayons. I met him for the first time a couple of weeks ago, filming him for this podcast they're working on, and it just so happened that I was listening to the podcast called The Accidental Creative. And he was on there, and he's been on it like three times. And he's actually from an Australian who spent time in the UK, went to one of the real fancy unis, fucking smart dude, and then now lives in Toronto. But he has a book called, what was it called? The Coaching Habit. The funny thing is, you know, when you meet someone, you have no idea really much about them, and then they start popping up everywhere and you're like, fuck, they're so aligned with what you're about. So anyway, him and Dr. Jason Fox working on a podcast. They're going to be releasing information soon about it, so I think I'm okay to talk about it. But it's talking about paradoxes, right? So this idea that – you know, advice that you get from this advice.
Okay, so we had a slight fuck up just then.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I think my AirPods went.
You were talking about the paradigms? No,
the paradox. So paradox. The paradox, I think, in fact, the definition of a paradox, just so I don't fuck this up, a paradox is a seemingly absurd or contradictory statement or proposition which, when investigated, may prove to be well-founded or true. So the point being that, so the one paradox that I find really easy to understand is the paradox of choice, right? So there's an awesome old TED talk about it, which is that you would think that the more choice we have, the happier we are because we have more options. But it turns out that more choice makes us fucking anxious and we don't do things. So a good example, Netflix. You have lots and lots of choice. You can pick whatever you want, but it doesn't make life easier. It's actually easier if you just turn on the TV and there's something on there and you can just watch it. So that's like paradoxes. The paradox that you're talking about, I think, is people as the, and bring it back to Michael Bungay Stainer and Dr. Jason Fox, because what they are going to be exploring are these paradoxes. So there is a statement which is set your goals high, right? Because if even if you make it three quarters of the way there, you will you're going to go further than what you thought.
Yeah.
So that's one, right? And by the sounds of it, was that what the dude of Fobo or whatever the fuck it's called, Foyo?
He wasn't even really trying to get a lesson across. He just had stated that he set it so low. And looking at his success and what he had is like, he almost just said it as like, fuck, I should have been setting these higher. I didn't realize that I could do that. So I, you know, I set it down.
So did you take it? What did you take out of it? What's the actionability for you?
I took out of it that this guy who managed to get success set his goals so low. And if I'm setting them low, why can't I have success? Why can't I could. There's a potential that I create a big success for myself even though I set my goals low, but why don't I set them high and have have a different conversation in my own head? Like, allow myself to be, you know, why can't I make a living making videos that I want about things that I like and just literally wake up every day and do what I want in that space? And exactly. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how to do it yet. But I definitely feel myself gravitating away from having that goal and verbalizing that goal because I start thinking, oh, you know, the business, nah, you know, all these things come up for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the point is, so for instance, you're taking that, okay, well, like I'm doing those smaller goals. Maybe if I just do bigger goals, then it's, you know, you're going to get bigger results. And I guess the point of it is that there's diminishing returns with these types of things, like in the sense that if you set a goal really high, then you can become paralyzed with not knowing what the first step is.
Mm.
Whereas these smaller goals allow, it's like Tim Ferriss talks about, he has really low requirements in regards to how much he's going to write. So if he's writing a book, he'll say, I only need to write one page a day. And then he ends up writing four, five, six, a dozen pages.
Yeah.
The point is that he's made the goal so low that he'll smash through it, which will then give him call back to confidence, give him the confidence to continue on.
Mm. I even feel like I'm doing a lot of work. Like I'm putting in the work for my own personal content and feel like I'm making progress, right? But still, you know, I see the person who's not doing anything, sets a big goal and then doesn't do anything because it's paralyzing to think about how much work they have to do. I feel like even though now I've got the ball rolling, I'm doing a lot, I've got my business, and I still feel like I'm restricted in my own head as far as the goal, the big vision or the big goal that I can even verbalize.
Well, I wrote down, you know, like I was talking to you on the phone the other day about that mentor stuff too, because I really want to be a good mentor, a big coach or whatever, a good coach or whatever you want to call it. And some of the things that I was thinking about were, I'll just go to my notepad, which by the way, I have been using. Thank you. Day four, day five. But it's around the, I can't even find it, but the point that I'm wanting to make is the, I've just gone completely blank, can't do two things at once.
So the mentoring thing, you wrote out something, a goal or?
The abstract goal, right? So I was talking to you about this the other day on the phone, which is like, you know, we might be mentoring someone. They're like, I want to be making Hollywood films. And that's a big goal. But the thing is that no one ever goes from, or you typically won't go from doing a course on filmmaking to then get to that.
Mm.
So it's being able to like break it down into bite-sized chunks and say, okay, well, this is the direction I want to go into. But it might take 10 years to do it. And I think that that's the same with all the stuff that we're doing as well, right? Where it's like it's all working towards these bigger goals, and we have to do this friction. Doing this other work is going to help us when we get there.
Mm. And maybe even it's not the goal thing. Maybe it's – I mean, yeah, it's a goal thing, but maybe it's like – because if you've, I know you have, but I think a lot of people would struggle sitting down and really thinking about blue sky, what they want to do, the life they want to have, what's a perfect day to them, what does success look like to me? And that all that shit is fucking like super hard to get out of your head because the lizard brain's going, no, but you don't have that money, or, you know, traveling, you've got that family, you've got that family, you've got a family, that all those things.
Family. Don't get me started on that family. We've all got one.
The dead weight.
Tell me about it. But no, on that, definitely, here's a recommendation. I fucking loved the podcast, The Accidental Creative, the latest one with Michael Bungay Stainer. I'm like become a massive fan and what he's all about. Because in his book, The Coaching Habit, he talks about all these different questions that you have to ask, right? It's this idea that you need to be asking more questions and giving out less advice, which is the whole thing that I've been like, it's so funny that that happened because Bree was doing some problem solving the other day. And I literally just, rather than doing what I always do, which is like just throw a bunch of advice, like you need to do this, you need to have this conversation, you should go over here, do that, I reckon this is the best approach. I was like, okay, like it's questions like, what do you want? What is it that you're wanting to, like, what are you wanting to change? What are you actually trying to, like, what's the end game? Mm. And then why do you care about this? Or what, and asking those questions. And Michael Bungay Stainer, that was one that they specifically spoke about on the Accidental Creative podcast, which was what do you want?
Yeah.
And his point being that the reason that we don't normally ask people what do you want in life is because we might be scared of their answer.
Mm.
If a boss says to you, what do you want? The response might not include them or the company in it.
Yeah.
And so it takes a certain amount of courage to do it. But, yeah, I would highly recommend, even if you're not into, like, self-development stuff, he's really on this trajectory of discovering how to have adult-to-adult relationships, as he calls it.
Mm. That's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I even feel like talking to you about what I want, I feel like I even throw things in there like, oh, but Josh will think this. It's like, it's so funny how you do that in your own head. Like our minds work so quickly.
Well, I mean, it's like the literally, and we also see any question as a criticism as well in some cases. And sometimes they are. And it's like projecting, like a very, very low level example is when this mic thing's fucking up and you say, oh, why didn't you bring your USB mic? And it's a fucking good question.
No, I actually thought about it this morning when I was on the way.
Pardon?
I actually thought about it this morning when I was on the way. Yeah, but it was never a criticism.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing, right? And then, like, from an internal point of view, it's a question that I've been asking myself. And so people have bad reactions to those types of things too, and they then project. It's like, well, I didn't bring it because I fucking know that.
Yeah.
And you know, I know in that moment, I'm like, I should have brought it. I fucked it. I brought the wrong gear. But man, the one thing that this little trip's done has been I normally sleep on planes. I couldn't sleep. It was an early flight, so it was like 6 a.m. flight.
Did you have a coffee?
The Gold Coast. Yeah, I did.
It fucks me. I cannot have a coffee if I'm trying to go to sleep on a plane. I just start.
So I'd had a coffee and I had some like cheese and stuff in the lounge. Anyway, the interesting thing was I just used that time to I wrote some like headings, which was like, you know, what do I want? Define the success of a project.
Mm.
And then and then a few other things. I think some of the stuff that I've been really sort of thinking about is specifically on a project that I've been thinking about, or a style of project that I've been thinking about for a long time. I've sort of said, I feel like I need to make it quietly rather than sharing and losing the steam. Mm. I think that that's like such a common thing for creative people where it's like, you become that gunner person. Oh yeah, I'm going to do that thing, and you get excited, and you never end up doing it.
Yeah, in our space, you like the thing you create could be the thing that changes your life completely.
Yeah,
like I feel like there has been videos that have changed the course of where I'm going. Fucking one of those, the O-bike thing. I told you about that message I got last night.
Yeah,
so I'll just quickly recap the story. I got this. I posted a video on my Facebook page, the one of my next door neighbor's house burning down, and this guy wrote on it. His name was like Bob. He just wrote what because the caption was 1 minute watching Netflix, next minute putting my neighbor's or fighting a fighting my next door neighbor's fire with a hose. And he wrote, what were you watching? And I wrote, Jessica Jones. But it was the fire was actually more entertaining. Anyway, I then get a message on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
Personal message. It said, dude, it was from this guy named Bob. He said, dude, I love your work. Take a look at mine. This is my show. I'm the sheriff.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. I have a couple more shows I'm producing. Let's talk sometime. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that sounds weird. And I clicked onto it. It was a show called Longmire. They've got six seasons and it's on Netflix.
Yeah, cool.
And I watched the trailer and I was like, fuck, this dude, Bob, it's not his real name. Bob's like a fake name on Facebook. Anyway, yeah. The dude, he's like, he was the fucking one of the agents in The Matrix years ago.
Yeah, and cool. I need to watch The Matrix.
And so I knew this guy, but never knew his name. He wasn't the main agent. But yeah. I then watched the trailer of it. I was like, fuck, man, this dude's badass. His real name's Robert Taylor. And he's an Australian actor. He'd probably be, I think he's like 55. Yeah. Went to Whopper where Hugh Jackman went. And so I just had a look at his IMDb. And I was fucking like blown away. This dude, and I thought it was fake to start with. And I said, thanks, man. You're a badass in that show, right up my alley. I'm going to start watching it. Would love to talk. How did you come across my stuff? Thanks for the message. He wrote, the O-bike thing. I was working in Santa Fe, pissing myself at it. I showed it to a lot of people. And then I said, thanks, man. I'll be forever known as the O-bike guy. Oh, well, could be worse. And I sent my number and email and he said, I'll call you when I'm back in town. But I was like, how crazy is like you, the I don't even know what you're talking about when you're saying some project. It's like you could make that and it'll change everything for you.
Well, it's and the reason that I didn't say this because I feel like I always say it and it loses steam. It's just like my documentary stuff, right? Like it's just that long form doco. How long? Like I've been saying that I've wanted to do long form doco for.
Since you were 10.
So now I don't have to do it because I've told everyone. But I think this is that paradox again, right? So you're realizing that this small thing that you did had this big, or like the O-bike video has potentially started this new relationship or whatever it is, and it's like a new opportunity. So then the risk is that every little thing that we do could lead to something big. Mm. However, we can't treat it that way because if we treat everything as this is going to be the thing that's going to be the big thing, mm-hmm. or this is going to create this big opportunity, we then become paralyzed because we then, if you were told, hey, these people are going to see your video that you made, this is where it's going to go, all of these types of things, you wouldn't have done it in like a few days.
No, 100%. I know this and I get to work without that in my mind because I know – here's the thing for me. I know that I won't create if I'm thinking that. So all the things I have done have literally like just me being really interested in the thing that I'm doing or feeling shit about it and still just putting it out anyway.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Trevor Long. Trevor Long, tech dude. Been doing it for years and years and years. If you are in Australia and watch any form of media, when especially around the coverage of Apple events, he's the guy, he's the go-to Australian guy that when Apple releases something, he's over in fucking Cupertino or whatever, showing the iPhone and doing it, showing all the features. Anyway, I got a call. Trevor and I have been in contact online since early days of Twitter. And I got a call from him yesterday basically saying, mate, I've been listening to the podcast and I love it. Listened to six episodes in the last, week. And, man, I was chuffed. And so for one, thank you, Trevor. But two, the power of just fucking reaching out to someone who – if you're consuming someone's content or you're liking what someone's doing, encouragement, I think, can do amazing things.
Well, you feel like no one's actually listening. You can feel like no one's watching and you can see views, but people do. Like, all you need is like the right people to be listening and watching. Doesn't matter about the, huge view count for things to change. I don't know what that – it's all unique for individuals, but it's like how the fuck would I know that Bob guy – or Robert, the actor –
yeah,
who's got six seasons of his own fucking show? He's the lead actor. Is watching my O-Bike video. How the hell would I know that? And I'm so grateful he actually reached out to me, because it's like, fuck, it gives you. I said it's like the O-Bike video for me and the 1,000 steps video for me. They like little wins, and each one you get, it's just like, okay, I'm not doing this for no fucking reason. Things are progressing. Yeah. And it's nice to know. And like whatever that guy, I'd like to catch up with him. He, you know, he's a seasoned actor. It'd be kind of cool to have a chat with him. And yeah, but I don't think anything more than that. It's like, cool.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. It's the difference between having high expectations and low expectations. Both probably works.
Mm.
Having high expectations, I think here's probably the trick. Have high expectations of yourself and low expectations of everything else.
Mm.
Have high expectations in the sense I'm going to show up every day, I'm going to do the work, I'm going to create things, with the low expectation that no one fucking cares and no one's going to watch.
Yeah.
And then that's probably a good formula to actually be fucking happy at the end of the day, because, you know, even if it moves a little bit, you know, in a positive way.
I was just thinking maybe the reward is so big. You look at musicians. We look at big famous YouTubers. The reward is so big because the pain is so high. Like I found the early days of me making videos, for one, learning how to do it. For two, I wasn't okay with myself in terms of like, you know, I was fine, but I was like, I still didn't know myself well.
Yeah.
And I was self-conscious about how I looked and sounded and all that shit. So breaking through that, and maybe that is why you can be rewarded on the other side of these things so much. Business, you know, relationships, all the uncomfortable stuff, you break through and it's like, fuck, wow, this is what you get from putting in all that fucking pain, putting, you know, enduring all that pain. But sometimes life just kicks you in the dick and you don't get it anyway.
Yeah, well, it's the positive outcomes for all of these, the shit things that might happen. Like everything is building on, like, you know, a project that fucks up or being rejected is actually like happening right now is a positive thing, because it means that you're fucking better equipped for next time.
I gotta go eat. I'm so fucking hungry.
I'm actually quite hungry too. And I'm also off to Byron. So mate, we'll
eat some fruit. You buy the water. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll eat a nice little fruit salad or something. Bree's telling me I've got to go to a place called The Farm.
Oh, in Byron? Yes, go to The Farm.
Yeah. All right, guys. Everyone, thanks for listening. hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Send us an email if you like. We haven't had an extra review in probably a month. We've sat at 14 ratings, all 5 stars, thank you. But if you are listening and you have iTunes or the podcast app, a review really helps other people discover us, so that would be appreciated. We also have that PO box as well. PO box 400 Abbotsford, Victoria 3067.
Send
Enjoy your day, TJ.
See you, buddy.
Catch you, bye.